have a very special treat this morning. My good friend Dane Takara is going to bring the word to us. Is this cool?
That's fine.
You can. I've known Dane for many years, and his life matches his profession. I've watched
Thank
him
you.
Live his life. I've watched his values play
That's
out.
That's perfect. Thank
watched
you.
His marriage and his children and his relationship and his ministry and his witness. And his words are credible because of his life. They match up. There's integrity there, which is the mark of a true, I think, man after God's own heart. So I just want to commend him to you. I'm grateful that he's willing to serve the body in this way. And this is part of our vision as a church, is to raise up the body to be the body, to encourage, to equip, and to empower each and every member of the body to fulfill their purpose. God has put beauty, he's put gifting, he's put diversity in each and every member of the body. They are part of the body. They have a function that, when functioning properly, the body is what it's meant to be. It's healthy, it's robust, it's living, it's active, it's close to, it displays the beauty of Christ so much more fully and richly than it could if there's only a few members of the body functioning. So our desire is to raise up as many people as possible to be all that God has made you to be, so that your gifts can be employed, that they can be exercised, and to create opportunity for that, because it's good for the individual to exercise your gift, and it is good for the body. It will be so much richer, deeper, and more beautiful. There's parts of God's heart and his character that Dane understands far more clearly than I do. There's aspects of his heart that Dane demonstrates in ways that I cannot. And so the more people, again, who are raised up, demonstrating different aspects of the character and heart of God, proclaiming different facets of truth that they see more clearly than me or another person, the more full picture, the more rich and multidimensional, the more beautiful, the more wonderful image we will see of Christ in his people, the body. Right? So I'm going to pray for my brother and then hand it off to him. So, Lord, thank you for Dane. Thank you for his life. Thank you for his testimony. Thank you for his profession. Thank you for his fruit. Lord, bless his mind and his heart now as he speaks your word. May it encourage, may it edify, may it build up your people. May the ministry of the word be fruitful. May it be beautiful. Lord, may our hearts and minds be directed more towards you. May we be more focused, more grounded, more full of faith, and empowered to walk in faithful obedience to you. So bless my brother now. Bless the ministry of your word, we pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Stephen. That was a very humbling introduction. Thank you for that. It's all about Jesus. It's all because of what he has done that we can even come together, that we can proclaim his good news because of what Jesus has done. On the way here, I was talking to Jaden and the kids, because it's funny, it's like every time I think about these verses, it's like all these different things come up in my brain. And one thing has come up along the way here was just like, it's interesting about where we are today as in technology, right? Like, today's my wife's not here. And so, like, yeah, she's, celebrating with my soon-to-be sister-in-law this weekend. They're getting married this coming week. And so she's out there with my sister celebrating. But the fact that I can text her and send pictures and tell her, hey, I'm making dinner right now, and she can ask me, did you make vegetables? You know, like, and you think, like, you know, isn't hamburger a vegetable? You know, as a guy, like, that's how I think. But it's just funny, like, how we are with technology, and sometimes even, like knowledge, and you can just Google anything. Like, I can Google, you know, hiccups. Like, why am I having hiccups? And it could range from, like, you're eating too fast to you're going to die. Like, it's, you know, you see all this information out there, and it's like there's truth and there's false, right? There's always a mix of both out there. And the cool thing about the Bible and the gospel is that we have a source. We have the Bible. We have something that can tell us what is true. And I can't tell you everything that's on Google is true or not, but I can tell you what the Word of God is true, because that has remained the same. And so I want to talk, my main topic today is going back to the source, okay? And so we're going to have different examples. I'll be covering four different verses today, 1 John 2, 24-27. But one analogy or illustration that came up when I was thinking about this was the telephone game, which you can go to the next slide. I don't know if you guys played a telephone game before as a kid. You play it where you start with a simple phrase, you whisper it, or you say it to the next person. And sometimes the words, stay intact. Sometimes it changes. There's some funny things that goes on sometimes. But I had one illustration, if you go to the next slide, is a simple phrase like, Billy got a brand new haircut, right? That's a very simple phrase. And then, sometimes at the very end, you can have a totally different phrase, which you'll see in the next slide. Millie's goat has a new bear hut. Like, okay, yeah, it kind of sounds. You can kind of see where it could be misinterpreted. But, sometimes it happens. And if you go to the next slide, even changing one word from got to gave changes the whole idea of the phrase itself. Like, if I said Billy got versus Billy gave, one is a recipient, one is the giver, right? So if I said got, you would think he's a customer. If I gave, he's a hairstylist. And so, sometimes, again, the words stay intact. Sometimes someone misunderstands a word. And sometimes someone purposely changes the words. And so the only way that you can know the difference is if you compare what was said at the very beginning versus what was said at the end, right? And so with this illustration, I want to dive into our study today. Next slide. We have three questions that I texted to everyone, which we'll kind of cover today through the verses 24 to 27. One is, what does let what you heard from the beginning abide in you mean? Why does John write this? How do you know if someone's deceiving you? And what does John mean by you have no need that anyone should teach you? Pretty hefty topics there. And so I want to start by reading the whole section, which is 18 through 27, which is the next slide, which my brother Stephen covered last week, the beginning portion. It says, children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has a Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Next slide. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as has taught you, abide in him. That is a lot. So I want to start with verses 24 through 25 in the next slide. My question to you on this is, what do you think they're referring to when they say what you heard from the beginning? Does anyone have a guess on that?
Like you said in the telephone game, there's scholars out there that look at books of antiquity. In other words, have books changed, famous books written by Homer or other long dead authors. And, they've actually gone back and looked at things like in the Bible, and it's one of the most accurate, and they pulled up like Dead Sea Scrolls and they compared it and said, oh, let's see how much has changed over the centuries, and not much. We do have some translations that some people disagree with, like mm-hmm. words should be are interpreted incorrectly, but the flavor of Scripture is not lost about what the gospel really is saying.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the Bible, right? The Bible has, I mean, overall, as David said, like, the context has never changed. The Bible has never changed. And it's only through the grace of God that something like that can last through so long without being changed, right? And in this case, I want to point to the gospel of Jesus primarily, because it seems like that is something that they've been kind of attacking in different ways. And so, as we can see with the previous verses, this passage is specifically warning us about Antichrist, right? False teachers, false prophets. And we can see in the wording in verse 24 that John says, let what you heard from the beginning. So he's like telling them, like, hey, like, that gospel you heard in the beginning, you know, what did you hear? Like, go back to where it came from, right? What is it? It was that gospel which was first communicated to them that led them to Christ. It was a first message which brought them hope and salvation. It was a message of Jesus plus nothing equals everything, as Stephen pointed last week. This is what John was advising them to abide in. We know that that he was advising us this because we can read this in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, which has somewhat of the same language which was referring to Jesus. On the next slide, you can see, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Again, which we have heard, right? In the beginning, which we looked upon and we have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Who is the word of life? Jesus, right? The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which, again, we'll talk about eternal life a little bit later in our section, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. It's go back to the source, right? One thing I noticed in this section, it says abide quite a bit, right? Abide in Christ, abide in what you have heard in the beginning. And so I looked it up in the Strong's Dictionary, and it was saying in Greek, it means meno, which means stay, live, and remain, right? So he's like, stay, live, and remain in what you heard from the beginning. Why is he saying this, right? Again, as we talked about, there were false teachers, false prophets. There was additions and misinterpretations that were being spread throughout the church. And John is telling them that they need to stay, live, and remain in what you heard from the beginning. It isn't Jesus plus a little of me, right? And it isn't Jesus plus whatever is not convenient for me. It is a good news of Jesus, the Son of God, King of Kings, which you read about in God's holy word, that we should stay, live, and remain in. We need to go back to the source. We need to go back to the beginning. Like the example I talked about, the telephone game, we have antichrists who are purposefully distorting the truth, and you wouldn't know this unless you're going back to the source, right? Continuing in verse 24 through 25, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is a promise that he made to us, eternal life. And so I want to refer to a couple passages, John 15 and John 17. In John 15, 1 through 7, it says, I am the vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Again, that word abide is coming up quite a bit now. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And in John 17, 1 through 3, it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ you have sent. As we can see in John 15 and 17, if we abide in him, we will bear much fruit. Jesus has all authority over all flesh to give us eternal life, which is knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Isn't it awesome that we have access to the God who created all creation through Jesus? We have access to Jesus Christ because of what God has done. Jesus, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who sits at the right side of God, we get to know him. That's crazy. You know, that's such good news. You can see why it's eternal life. And sometimes we think eternal life, like, I just want to live longer. So typically, we think about me, right? But no, it's all about God. It's all about him. Words cannot even describe how awesome that is. We can also see on the flip side, though, in John 15, 6, if someone is not abiding in Christ, he will not receive this eternal life and be thrown away into the fire. In the next verse, in 1 John 26, next slide, please, you can see he says, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. Again, John is writing all these things to warn us. I want to look at the phrase, trying to deceive you. Or an NIV is saying, trying to lead you astray, right? The word trying is an action verb, right? It's moving. It didn't just happen in the past. It is active. And it is happening today. There are churches accepting what God calls evil good, such as same-sex relationships, as if the stark warnings of Sodom and Gomorrah never existed. They continue to neglect the repeated teachings and warnings throughout the Bible as if it was outdated, or even trying to say, well, God is love, therefore shouldn't we accept all forms of what love is, right? And I'm here to tell you, remain in him. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. I heard this sermon from Francis Chan. He was talking about false teachers in a different area of the Bible, but he said something that I won't forget in regards to this topic. He says, how do you know who is a false teacher? How do you know that I'm not a false teacher? And I thought, I was like, whoa. Like, this is, you know, because I like to listen to him and John MacArthur and these other guys. I'm like, whoa, that's pretty bold. Right? How do you know that Francis Chan is not teaching something false? How do you know that John MacArthur, Douglas Wilson, Dane Takara, right? Vody Bakum, you know, these are guys that I like to listen to in the sermons. And, you know, we are all people and pray by the grace of God that I or any of these wonderful preachers would never preach anything but the gospel of Jesus. But you wouldn't know unless you're abiding in him, unless you're going back to the source, right? Has anyone played a Nintendo Switch? And this is kind of gearing to the younger generation. Right? I've seen it, heard it. You have a grandchild, brother, sister. It has an LED screen. It has two controllers that are removable on each side, depending on the version you have, right? And it allows you to play, what, video games, right? It's a console. Next slide. Does that look like a Nintendo Switch to you? It has two controllers. It has a screen, right? And something is telling you that something isn't right. Like, I don't know. I mean, either you use it before and you know, like, that's definitely not right. And or maybe you've seen it before at the store, and you're like, yeah, I didn't see it. That doesn't look like what I saw in the store. And then, you know, maybe you haven't seen it at all, and you're just like, that definitely does not look right. I want to, next slide. The one to the right is a real one, and I found obviously an advertisement picture. Maybe you knew the one was fake because you used it before. Maybe it's because something's telling you something's not right. I mean, anybody who grew up with a dad or uncle who uses tape to fix everything knows that tape does not last very long, and it's not really truly attached. You know, I have a stepdad who duct taped the bumper on, and I'm like, that's not going to last, right? That's not going to last. And I just want to, you know, say that, you know, the enemy has been making fake Nintendo Switches and selling them on the corner for a discount price. He has been purposefully using false teachers and prophets to change the message during the telephone game so that the message is different at the end. He has been actively deceiving since the garden, did it in Jesus' time, did it in John's time, and is actively doing it today. Are you putting on the armor of God, which is described in Ephesians 6, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, shield of faith that extinguishes the flaming arrows of the evil one, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God? We need to be ready. We need to know the source, right? To tell the differences. Next slide. In this next section, it says, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as he taught you, abide in him. The NIV version says, as for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as is taught you, remain in him. There are a couple points that I want to talk about in this verse. You know, what does John mean about, I don't need anyone to teach me? Like, why am I sitting up here? You know, okay, my job is done. I'm going to go home, right? And then the other question I want to talk about is his anointing teaches us about everything. So my question to everyone, and this is a roaming mic question, is, what do you think that means, that what John means by you have no need that anyone should teach you?
Thanks. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, Eve was listening to the serpent. And the serpent was saying, did he really mean that you would die? She knew what God had told her. Mm-hmm. And she understood that. But she listened to the serpent and allowed the serpent to deceive her. If she had been abiding in the Lord, we wouldn't be in this mess today. But we are, because she let the serpent change the narrative.
Paul. Uh-huh.
The phrase, you have no need that anyone should teach you, is another way of saying, you already know enough to be saved. Mm-hmm. You already know enough of him, what he's revealed about himself, so that if you abide in it, you cling to it, you trust in it, you will be saved. In other words, you don't need new information. The mm-hmm. enemy comes and says, God's holding back from you. He's hiding something that's really important for your joy. And then you get led astray into the new information crowd, doubting what you had from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I had that feeling, like what you're saying, where it's just like, especially like when you're going to witness to people, right? You're like, well, I don't know enough. Like, there's always that fear in there, like, I'm not capable of doing that. I'm not capable of coming up here and talking to everyone here. Like, that's initially my first thing was like, I'm not capable, like, you know, but it's not about me, right? And God has given us the knowledge to do these things. And I want to go to the next slide. There's a quote from John MacArthur, which I thought was a great excerpt on this verse. He says, John is not denying the importance of gifted teachers, right? Because in 1 Corinthians and Ephesians, they talk about God giving apostles and prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints, right? But indicates that neither those teachers nor those believers are dependent on human wisdom or the opinions of men for the truth. God's Holy Spirit guides and guards the true believer into the truth. We have the anointing that God has given us, the Holy Spirit, right? We also have the Bible, which David has pointed out before. It's more or less unchanged, right? The context has remained the same throughout history. Maybe the wording is a little different, but what God has said remains the same. In the next slide, I want to talk about his anointed teaches us about everything. And in 1 John chapter 2, 20-21, which was previous to what I'm covering today, it says, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. We have the Holy Spirit. That's where we get the knowledge. We have God's word. You know, I think about what Stephen said last week when he was with Paul and talking to another brother. And, you know, Stephen was saying, like, you know, at the time, you know, he wasn't versed in the Bible, but he knew something wasn't right, right? And so it's like that Holy Spirit is just telling you something is not quite right. And so I see that in, like, different areas of my own life where, you know, and even in other people's lives where, like, if you tell a half-truth and you know it's wrong, something inside of you is, you know, wrenching at your stomach, right? You're like, no, that's not true. I got to tell the whole truth to my wife or my kids or whoever it is, right? That's the Holy Spirit that's telling us, that is giving us that knowledge that we may not entirely know what verse it is, but we know that it is true, we need to do this. And we have God's word. We have the source with us today. The Bible instructs us because it is the living word of God. And so I remember when I was younger, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And I remember back at this time, I went to Cambodia, and, you know, at that time, it was just kind of like, yeah, I knew about God, and it's not like I wasn't living a Christian walk, but God has revealed to me something about through this scripture during that time that, man, I had to look at my heart and see how self-centered I was. You know, my intentions were so self-centered. You know, at that time, I wanted the American dream. You know, lots of money, house, and fast, sporty-looking car. Not that you can't have any of these things. Not saying you can't have money or a house. But that was my, in a sense, an idol. And I knew that because when I was in Cambodia and I saw God has revealed this to me, I'm like, man, I'm really idolizing this stuff here. And God showed me, like, no, the reason why I'm doing it is kind of like a Pharisee. But then it's interesting that when I read it today, that scripture means something a little bit different. It's not that same way of in my life 20 years ago. You know, it's showing me to stand up against what God calls evil and what some people are kind of normalizing as good. And so, you know, I went through like a phase in my life where I kind of like, well, I read the Bible a few times, you know, I'm going to kind of focus more on devotionals, theology books. You know, and nothing's wrong with devotionals or theology books, but I replaced those. Like, I didn't read the Bible. I just kind of read everything else but that because I read it a few times. Why, you know, I kind of know the gist of it, right? But I just want to encourage everyone that the Bible is the living word of God, that is the source, that yes, theology books, yes, devotionals are great resources, but the living word of God is the source, is the truth, and that will tell us the difference, what is true or false in those books and in those things that we see. And especially, again, we are in a day and age where we can easily access information. It's at the fingertips. What is true? What is false? We need to go back to the source. We need to go back to the beginning. And I thought of this, another analogy is kind of like, you know, you ever gone to those parks and someone's running the fountain too long, so it becomes like this long stream of water, right? And sometimes I feel like I'm so comfortable in sapping the water that's down the stream than going to the source of which it flows, which is the good stuff, right? And so, again, encourage everyone, go back to the source, go back to God's word, go back to the beginning, go back to the gospel of Jesus, and that's why we're here today. Because, again, it's the information that's out there, it's just vast. So in closing, I want to go back to John 15, 1 through 7, and end with this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus plus nothing equals everything, right? If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. All right. Before I end, I just want to close in prayer, and it's going to happen next. Can't remember. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the living word of God that is just showing us and gives us all knowledge, Lord, that we don't have to have our own knowledge, but you have freely given it to us. I pray that we would seek you, that we would follow you, that we would abide in you. I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. And I pray that we would not substitute your word for anything else that's more comfortable for me. I don't want anything that's comfortable for me. I want to see Jesus magnified. We pray that the gospel of Jesus would reign in our hearts and in our lives, and that we would not only live it, but we would tell others about it, because it's such great news that we can have eternal life, which is a relationship with the one true God and the Son who he has sent, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.